Good morning, David Redford. My name is Mike Tickner, and Patrick introduced me earlier as being the senior lessons manager at the Defence Experimentation and Wargaming Hub. As there is only one lessons manager, I'm also the junior lessons manager. So remember, Caesar, you are mortal. With today, I'm the cuckoo in the nest because I'm not a wargamer. My background was I served a full career in the Regular Army, and the last 4 years of my service, I commanded the operational lessons team at the Land Warfare Centre. And then from that, I jumped into lessons from wargaming down at the hub. We all know, and you, Beth and I, as you're wargamers, that wargames produce a vast amount of very detailed information. The data collection analysis plan is behind that. But how do you make that jump from the report at the end of the war game into fusing it with lessons from real life, from training, and from history? And the mental jump is a little bit similar to the way that a knight would move in a game of chess. You don't move in a straight line. And it took me a little bit of time to get my head around the problem, because I thought, lessons from wargaming, same as lessons from operations, this job is going to be a doddle. No, it wasn't. It took that of being the knight and jumping three moves to get to where you want to be was the mental process I had to jump through. So what I would like to do with this talk is to take you on that journey. I'm going to show some vulnerability. I'm going to show my throat. I still haven't got it right. And I would be interested in your thoughts in that. But as I said, it's my journey, it's my thoughts. So the opinions I express are certainly not the opinions of the Ministry of Defence and are certainly not the opinions of my employer. When we come to the questions and answers session, I will at times have to be a little bit cagey because of the nature of the war games that we run, that I cannot go into specifics, although I'll do my level best to answer your questions. So what am I going to cover in the next few minutes? What is a lesson, and how the bespoke war game lessons process operates down at the Wargaming Hub? So first of all, let's go and have a little bit of a look at doctrine to understand what is a lesson. And you'll see there's two documents down there. The first one is from the NATO Lessons Handbook, and you'll notice I've highlighted in yellow a couple of words. Knowledge from experience, and most importantly, value to others. It's not about collecting random factoids that are quite interesting. It's about making that value judgment, which of course is always influenced by personal bias, but identifying something that is value for others, either now or in the future. Next quotation down is the Joint Service publication. It's a riveting read. And again, you'll see there's some words that I've highlighted in lessons. And again, it agrees with the NATO handbook. So it's lessons learned towards enduring improvements. Therefore, it ties in with the earlier comment about value for others. It's doing it for a purpose. It's doing it to make things better. And the final bit I've marked up in yellow, validated by subject matter experts. So the whole idea is to identify a trend or a theme rather than happenstance. And people in the lessons world will get very, very excited about what is a lesson. And you can tear yourself apart thinking about what a lesson is. But go back to the idea, if it waddles, it quacks, and it looks like a duck, it's a duck. I've thrown up some things here, and this is Tickner's view of the world. If something has been identified that is so large that you A, have to spend a significant amount of money, new infrastructure, new equipment, major modifications, change of policy, change of training, change in structures at a large scale, more people, contractual changes, or cultural change, and we all know that culture eats policy for breakfast. If it's that big and you're doing it at a large scale, the same way if it quacks and waddles, it's a duck, it's a lesson. But there's another terms that we need to think about when thinking about lessons. Good practice. And again, a bit of pragmatism, this is Tickner's view. What is good practice? It's a hack. It's something you either want to do again or you really, really don't want to do again. But it's a low-level thing. The next thing up there is observation. Think about an observation as a nascent or a baby lesson. All lessons started as an observation. Not all observations become a lesson. Please bear that in mind. And the final thing is a finding. And we know that is the output from a war game. And when you think about it, it's a hierarchy. From the hack to perhaps it might be a lesson to growing into a lesson. And you get this whole world of, do we need to record it? Do we need to prove that it's been fixed? But a lot of the low-level stuff is fixed by routine staff action. All of our jobs, in some way or the other, we are paid to fix problems. That's what we do all day long. And that is what headquarters do. Here we have staff action, which makes a lot of the lower-level stuff go away or fixed long enough. And where do the outputs from wargaming come in? Well, it feeds into observations and from lessons. And when you fuse a lesson from operations, from training, from history, you fuse that with a finding from a wargame, suddenly you've got a really powerful piece of information that has got multiple points of reference that other people have viewed it over time, of value to others, validated by subject matter experts. You suddenly see the power of wargaming when you fuse it with lessons. Perhaps the difference between operational lessons and outputs from wargames is passive and active collect. With operational lessons, you cannot look for lessons about suppression of enemy air defence if the enemy don't have any air defence to suppress. If it's not there, you can't count it. Whereas with wargaming, you're specifically going after a problem that is burning a hole in a senior officer's notebook. So it's an active collect. And if you look at the process, here we see, taken from the DCDC Wargaming Handbook, it's shown as a cycle. The tempo that we work at the Wargaming Hub, it's very much here and now. We don't have the luxury of a year to design a war game, run it multiple times, and then a year to analyse the outputs. It's fast, and it's quick, and it's good enough. And we all know that perfection is the enemy of good enough. So we've got our own model that's being designed by Dr. David Reindorp and Dr. James Bennett. And I know Tom Allen, Chief of Staff at the Hub, briefed on this last year, and there was a little bit of pushback on the model that we used. Please, I don't particularly want to talk about the model. What I want to talk about is how we, the different stages of war game design, how we employ a lessons process. So let's start at the very beginning. The first bit here, the discover and the define phase. This is the initial commissioning meeting. These are the initial conversations where the design team at the Hub are talking to the commissioner and scoping the arse of possible, understanding what the commissioner wants. Where's the lesson process in there? Meet the exploitation onion, which is very similar to the survivability onion for those that are familiar with that. So my part is to look at operations, training history, what we're learning from our allies, what we're learning from adversaries, coming up with the key themes, vignettes, that will help the war game designers design a war game that meets the commissioner's needs. Also, look at previous relevant war games, so we don't keep going after the same low-hanging fruit. The idea is the war game picks up the baton and runs the next 400 metres of the race. And the final part, with the exploitation onion, understanding what to do with the product at the end. And you'll see here we've got the three layers. You've got the must know. This is the commissioner and the immediate stakeholders. A small group, and they need everything, and they need it now. Then you have next group should know, could know, and might know, spreading out through frontline commands out to wider defence. Each group, longer, we have longer to get that information out to people, and the product will be simplified. The people in the might need to know really don't want to read a 50-page report. They just want a summary in a couple of slides, because they might need to know. Next bit in the war game process, of course, is the design and the execute. Do I have anything to do with the design process? No, not really. For the simple reason that the people that are designing the war game know what they need to do. I've contributed where I could, and I'm letting them get on with it. The execute phase, do I have anything to do with that? I will listen into some of the war game. There has been a couple of examples where I have stepped in because people are going down a rabbit hole and it's just so away from reality of what has happened in the past. I've stepped in. Some of that is due to optimism on the part of the audience. So I've thrown a great bowl of cynicism on top of that. But generally, I keep out of that. And the same way with the reporting phase. With the reporting phase, this is where I start to get more and more involved, because we've got a product that has been produced. And the report itself, the feedback to the commissioner, could be any one of those on there, multiple, one of them. Because the idea is you tailor the product to the needs of the commissioner. And if a headquarters is spinning up a plan really quickly, they want something short, sweet, and now, because the people that played the war game will go home with lots of stuff in their notebook, and that night they'll be jumping on their laptop and starting to fix things. So you've got to keep up with them. And if you do not exploit the information at a suitable pace, you become irrelevant. And the War Game Hub must maintain its relevance to our commissioners. So the next stage is the report's been written. It's now my turn to pick up and run with the product. And we go back to the exploitation onion of reviewing individual findings, comparing it with the literature research that we did at the beginning, and seeing how the two overlap, and then looking for relevant products that we can exploit, that we can send out. How we do that, I'm still learning. A lot of it, I fall back on my experience of operational lessons. Keep it short. If it's more than two sides, the army won't read it. And its headlines are five, six, seven things you need to know if you're planning this sort of operation, this sort of task. And if you remember those when you're spinning up your plan, you're probably going to hit most of the problems at a large scale that could occur. And the final part, of course, is making our own war games better. We run a lessons log during the war game process to capture our own thoughts, our own means of making a better war game. We periodically review that and work out what we have learned, so we become a learning organisation and little by little make the product better. And here we have review the internal lessons log, assign an owner, i.e. somebody has the means to fix it, and information management. Record that information so you can come back at a later date, or my successor and other successors can come back to that information. But if you only remember one thing from these few minutes I've been up here, and that's it, exploit at the pace of relevance. You've got to keep up with the pace that the commissioner is working at, and if you don't, you become irrelevant. The final slide, of course, is questions, and we're doing Q&A later. So I look forward to hearing your thoughts a little bit later.